ball spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Friday. Literally. Out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal.
I wonder how many people have said that already today on the radio.
Good Friday.
Good Friday to you, everybody.
I wonder how many realize what they said.
No. That's the sad reality of it.
It is.
They don't realize what this day is.
And it's exactly right. Glad to have you along. We'll figure out what we're going to be doing this weekend. It's a jam-packed weekend for me. We'll find out what Jared will be up to. It's a big night for the Thunder and maybe the future of the franchise. Who knows? Everybody's been so focused on how the Thunder's record would end up, but that doesn't rule out a miracle from a Clippers pick that the Thunder own if the Clips can lose tonight. Well, we got some bad news out of Dallas. Potentially very bad news.
Not a good Friday in Dallas.
Not a good Friday for Kelvin Joseph, that's for sure. We never got to Mel Kiper's two-round mock draft that dropped, I think, Monday. We'll get to that. And then that Morgan Hoffman story. So yesterday, Morgan Hoffman, first PGA Tour event in like 900 days.
Oh, yeah.
I read that entire Golf Digest story. I can't wait to talk about this. You cannot believe the lengths that he has gone. Not necessarily to play back on the PGA Tour, just to live.
Wow.
It's an incredible story. And then we got some college football talk carryover from yesterday. We had a question right as we were getting off the air that I thought was pretty interesting because I think your snap answer is one way, but as you think about it a little bit more, maybe there's a chance. And that the question was this: with the NIL becoming obviously more of a thing throughout college football, will that help the other conferences to catch up to the SEC? Will it shift that balance away from SEC? Or will it just make it even more dominant? I think it's an interesting question.
It's interesting. Yeah.
That we could ponder. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, there are a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to kadsam.com, or download the Paragon app. The app's got it all, man. It's got the Penny News. It's got three radio stations. It's got Big Elk TV. It's got Paragon TV. All things that we are involved here at Paragon Communications. Also, the Skinny on Sports podcast is available on iTunes and KADSAM.com as well. So if you missed the show entirely, you can go back and check out what we had to say on any particular day. Good morning, Jared.
How are you?
Man, probably got to wear that hat while you can before it gets embarrassing to do it.
When you see me wear this Texas Rangers hat, that means they won last night.
And that's the first time I've seen you wear it this baseball season.
Well, they
might have won on the weekend. One
came over the weekend, but this was the. It's very nice when they beat a Angels team led by one Ohtani. So he was on the mound.
Yeah, so it was the first time he's given up a grand slam, and it was an 0-2 pitch, and he threw a splitter, and batters in that scenario against him were like 0-for-58 until last night with the grand salami.
We're always quick to call, you know, we as the public are quick to call an NBA, like Zion, for instance. He's a bust. He was a bust. Ohtani? Flash in the pan?
Well, it doesn't matter. Flash in the pan of something nobody's ever done in the game.
I get it.
It's on a pretty good.
I get it. Last year was awesome. Haven't seen it.
If you got to be a flash in the pan, you want to be Ohtani.
I get it. But how fitting is it that him alongside Trout are playing for the Angels? And okay, I'm just waiting for Trout to get hurt. Just waiting for the Angels to become irrelevant again. just like my Rangers. Okay, beat you to it, everybody who doesn't like the Rangers. Anyways,
you know, I think
when you see me wear this hat, that's like the Cubs flying the white flag with the W on it. Mm-hmm. That's my victory hat right here.
Unfortunately for the Rangers and for yourself, they've been so bad lately that I don't even think anybody cares to dislike them. There's more apathy toward the Rangers than anything.
I hate that. I'd rather you not like the Rangers because they beat you all the time.
That's exactly right. Yeah. When the other fan bases in your division don't really care, like nobody's getting fired up over last night, the Rangers beating Ohtani right now, that's not a good sign.
Kind of like
your
the
squad.
Kershaw thing. Nobody cared that he got yanked after 80 pitches in a perfect game. Nobody cared that the Rangers are beating the Angels last night, but it's still fun when you get a lot of wins. You got to relish in it. You got to have
right.
fun in it.
Yeah, you might. But, as well. And you never know.
I've seen a lot of preseason picks. You know, putting each division in order, and not everybody had the Rangers in last place. So if that's a step in the positive direction,
who
if the
would
Rangers
have been
can avoid,
lower?
Who did they put lower? Who are the A's?
See, that's a horrible choice.
Everybody, I know because they always put a run together in August. So.
Yeah.
But I guess for some reason, the analytics of it, what the Rangers have done in the offseason, spending all that cash on their infield, you know, getting both defensive and offensive production, we'll see if it equates to more wins. Surely it will equate to less losses like it did last year.
Boy, their pitching is terrible.
It is terrible. And that's what they got to spend the money on. That's what I've been – that's – and John Daniels.
It is bad
pitching.
The bane
of my existence, John Daniels. But – He's trying to put together what they did back in 11 and was 11 and 12, 10 and 11.
10 and 11.
And, you know, it was a lot of offense. A lot of offense. Couldn't name me a pitcher on that team.
Colby Lewis. Didn't they? What was the lefty? Oh, kind of the older guy.
Now, when I go back to those teams.
The guy everybody always wanted back then. Like, golly.
It was before Darvish.
The guy from the Phillies. Cole Hamels. Wasn't it Cole Hamels?
Hamels, yeah.
Let's see. Here it comes.
Those are mid-season pickups.
Guarantee.
I don't think Lewis was.
No, Cliff Lee.
Cliff Lee, yeah.
Yeah, Cliff Lee.
Anywho, yeah, he's got to spend
Lewis money. Lewis is a homegrown guy.
Yeah, he's got to spend. Now, at least they drafted the kid from Vanderbilt. And he's working his way through.
Which one? Lighter?
Lighter.
Okay, that's better because the other one.
I think he started this
season. What happened
season?
To Rocker?
I don't know.
He got drafted high, and then he failed a physical or something. I think he's like maybe an independent ball.
I don't know.
How crazy is that?
He's in some clown league, I'm sure, trying to be relevant again. I don't know.
No. Kumar Rocker from Vanderbilt.
No, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, he came out in the last year's draft.
Yeah.
Same as Leiter.
But Leiter is at...
But he failed a physical.
I believe Leiter's in AA, starting this season in AA. So there's an opportunity.
Where is that now?
AA?
Yeah.
Oh, I know AAA's in Round Rock. I think AA might be Frisco.
Yeah, because Tulsa isn't a thing anymore, right?
No, Tulsa and Oklahoma City, they're not, obviously Oklahoma City not affiliated with them.
Kind of think he'll re-enter the draft. I think that's right, with Rocker.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because of the way that all went down.
Very good.
Speaking of baseball.
Yes. What about it?
This is the anniversary of something. The 75-year anniversary of something.
Come on. 75 years.
75 years ago today, what happened, Jared?
Barely remember last year. 75 years ago today, Hank Aaron? No. That's not that long ago. 75 years. No. Help me.
75 years ago today, Frisco Rough Riders. There you go. You're
Frisco. Right, yeah. I knew it was, yeah.
75.
Which is an awesome park I've always wanted to see.
Really?
Yeah. Go ahead.
75 years ago today, Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier.
I thought that was the
in game. Major League Baseball, which is pretty, you know.
I like how MLB celebrates this.
Absolutely. Everybody wears 42.
Yeah.
And by the way, this could be a pretty good history lesson for some of you out there that think some other dude is breaking a barrier against girls, okay? So go back and read what Jackie Robinson went through 75 years ago today.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with a dude out swimming chicks, okay? Just
yeah.
get that. Don't. That still is infuriating reading columns trying to compare Will Thomas or whatever he calls herself or whatever to Jackie Robinson and what he went through in order to do that. The movie 42 lays it out pretty well.
Is that pretty accurate? When I watch movies like that, I go back and say, what was accurate, what wasn't? What took liberties and what didn't?
Yeah.
You think it's pretty accurate?
I mean, I think he went through hell.
Well, I don't doubt that.
Yeah.
I don't doubt that.
It's just a reminder.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Today, 75 years ago, Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier.
Well, I just might go watch that movie tonight.
Okay, let's hit the college football.
Actually, you know what I'm doing tonight?
What is it?
I'm going bow fishing.
Hey, wait.
What?
Wait, that's at the end. I've got a segment for what are you doing this weekend,
Jared?
Well,
everybody knows.
Well, we'll wait on that.
Okay.
I'm gonna do the Men in Black pin. Turns out it might hurt more now than it used to because it comes with a slap. But here it goes. Boom. There, everybody's memory went away. All right, so the question yesterday...
I might do some fancy editing in the podcast.
We were talking about college football, the FPI that came out yesterday, and kind of discussing who would be the next team to make their first appearance in the college football playoff.
Right.
And then as we were discussing that going off the air, I got this question. Will it happen, and if it does, how long before the NIL will help to shift the balance of power away from the SEC, is that even possible?
We won't know. It takes. I think when you say balance of power, that takes time, right? It doesn't happen overnight. So I think this is a question that will be answered in 10, 15, 20 years if the NIL is still as it is now. I believe. There will be some more constraints on the NIL because it's such in its infancy stages. It'll be tweaked. But I'm in firm belief that the NIL benefits, and I've said this before and I'll keep saying it, large. We're blurring the line between amateur athletics and pro leagues. And what do the pro leagues usually have? Where does the success brew? It's in large markets. I believe that college football in large markets will benefit from the NIL. So to answer your question, if it's kind of both. I think, you know, there's not a lot of large markets if you think about it in the SEC.
Exactly.
So, but I could see the Miamis, USC, and I know this is crazy, but even teams like Rutgers or somebody in the East Coast in the New York area, metropolitan area, benefiting from the NIL because they can bring in a lot more NIL money possibilities for these players. But it's hard to see the NIL crumbling what Alabama is or crumbling what's happening in Georgia, in Athens, Georgia. It's hard to see that. So in a way, I think the kings of football, which is the SEC, and especially the top-heavy SEC and those two teams I mentioned, I think they remain. But I can see other teams kind of rise to power with them. So it's kind of I'm kind of talking out both sides of my face with this one. But does that make any sense? Because they're going to have these longtime boosters and donors. I mean, OU has them. You know, these big blue bloods, I think, will always be the blue bloods. But I think you're going to get more. So I guess to answer your question, I could see it leveling off in a way.
Yeah, I could.
But listen, if I'm a small market team, if I'm a team like in Lubbock, Manhattan, Kansas, places like that, I am very nervous about all the NIL stuff. Very nervous. You can't compete with it. It's hard to compete with it.
It depends on how it's used.
Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned Alabama, and, you know, Saban can say stuff and do others, but he's out in front of the, we're not paying players to come here.
And he's been vocal about trying to
tweak
this thing, too.
Very vocal. I mean, just this week, very vocal about this can't turn into paying for players on the recruiting trail, which it obviously did in College Station and in Austin. I mean, the recruits are openly talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
About how much money they were able to gather getting to school. And it's easy for Nick Saban to be able to say that because they've been a recruiting juggernaut, the likes of which for a decade of time we've never seen. You know, there's been the flash in the pan, you know, USC for two or three or four years in a row, but not a decade like Alabama's been, or even, shoot, 20, no, almost getting to a decade and a half at this point. And so it's easy for him to say that. And, oh, by the way, it's easy for him to do it because he's still getting the guys. He's still getting the dudes.
Yeah.
And then he can use they can use the NIL as a way to motivate. Listen, boys, these guys getting that money have proven something. We're not handing it out to Kamar Wheaton. We're yeah. handing it out to Will Anderson. You know?
Right.
This isn't going to whatever five-star quarterback coming out of high school. This is going to Bryce Young, who just won, you know, the Heisman. So that's one way. I think it depends on how you're going to use it. And I think it puts the desperate programs, A&M, Texas, in positions to use it one way, Alabama in a position to use it another way. And I agree with you 100%, at least on the in theory, this thing matches up perfectly with schools like Miami, USC, in those big markets, in big kind of media markets, big glamorous markets, glitz and glamour. And, you know, it's those are kind of two places known for supporting you big time if you're winning, not so much if you're losing, right?
Yep.
And having lots of things to do, but and lots of money to spend. And so, you know, I don't think there's any doubt that the coaching changes that were made at both of those schools have this in mind. You know, for all the stuff that people don't like about Lincoln Riley around here, you know what he was able to do? He was able to use social media to a huge advantage of his here when he was at Oklahoma. You know, Mario Cristobal has been doing the same thing in Oregon. Now in Miami, you know, you can see those fitting naturally. And so I think in some ways it does support things leveling off a little bit, but here's the question. And I know this NIL stuff doesn't necessarily go through the schools, but the fan bases in the schools and the donors kind of work in concert. And the question is, do those other places outside of the SEC, are they going to have the commitment to being good at football the way the SEC has? And if not, then nothing's going to save them.
The difference between the schools in the SEC and the schools that I mentioned and that you mentioned, you kind of alluded to it, Miami, USC, is when those schools in the SEC, this is how big the SEC is, even when they're not winning, their stadiums are packed.
That's correct.
You know, maybe outside of Kentucky, but you know what I mean. That, like Mississippi State, you're always going to hear the cowbells, even if they're 2-5 at that point. You know, it's going to be – there's always that thing about the SEC. Alabama, if kids don't remember – there was a time they weren't very good in the early 2000s. That's hard.
Coming
to,
off of probation and all that kind
all
of
that
stuff.
Stuff.
Yeah,
they
didn't have the right coach.
A couple coaches. Yeah. They were going through a transition period, similar to kind of what OU went through in the 90s. But man, their stadiums were full. Just look at Tennessee when OU went to Tennessee and had to come back to win in overtime. Tennessee has always been this team that's just could not get back. They're basically the Texas of the SEC. When's Tennessee going to come back? When are they going to be back? But, man, they fill that 100,000-seat stadium week in and week out. But when it's not happening in Miami, when it's not winning in USC,
well,
they're not showing up. And that's the catch-22 of being in a large market, too.
It is, because there's other things to do.
Right.
There's not a damn thing else to do in Fayetteville, Arkansas.
True.
There's nothing else to do in Starkville. There's nothing else to do in Oxford.
Right.
In Tuscaloosa, at Auburn. I mean, that's the advantage that the SEC has. And even, you know, I get that Louisiana has, you know, the Pellies. Nobody cares. It's LSU. All LSU.
Yeah.
You know, so those – the schools in the SEC, outside of maybe Florida and maybe Georgia because of where they're at and you know, having all the pro teams there in Atlanta, but it sure feels like that the Bulldogs are the state school first off and have more of a committed fan base than any of those pro teams. You know, even the Braves went in the World Series and you weren't sure if the stadium was going to be full. You know, that's just how that goes. And you're right. That is it's the good and the bad of having that base in those humongous markets. But the negative is if you slip a little, nobody's going.
No,
And so, you know, A&M is that way. Texas is a big state, but they've got a whole bunch of people that are Aggie to the core, you know. And so the commitment level from the whole machinery of the program in the SEC, dollars, passion, whatever you know, everything, they're just such at a higher level than everybody else right now. You know, collectively as conferences. Now, there's certain schools that you could pick out of all the other conferences that you could go, oh, we could do that. Okay, but what about the other eight? Or what about the other 12?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the SEC, outside of Vanderbilt, everybody's stadium is full. And by the way, a lot of times Vanderbilt's will be either. You know why? Because whoever they're playing is bringing everybody.
That might be their
chance to get to go watch a game. Because they can't get tickets to the home games.
That's true.
You know, and by the way, not a bad place to go, Nashville, to go hang out after watching Alabama beat Vanderbilt 60-0.
Right.
And so I think that's the one thing that along with the NIL, if it can turn the tide, it's also going to have to be not only NIL, but sustained, consistent attention paid and dollars put into these other programs and these other conferences if they want to rise to that level. Because I know we joke around about it as a slogan, but it's the truth. It does mean more to those people down in the Southeast than it does to the rest of the country as a whole. And so that's what's going to have to take place. I think the commitment level is going to have to rise from everybody and all the conferences in order to try to catch up with the SEC. And the NIL can help that. I really think it can help it. It's just going to have to be put into practice.
Yep.
All right, so Morgan Hoffman. Gosh, I mean, he was, you know, the next thing coming out of Oklahoma State, a part of some unbelievable teams. The top ranked amateur in the world.
Yeah.
Back in like 2009, I think is when that was. I mean, he was just the guy, you know, one of those guys. We see him all the time. The Morikawa is the Hovland now, just to keep it in OSU circles. And he had some success as he came out. He talks about it. There's an article. It was written. Wait a minute. I clicked on the wrong one. This is from. So he missed over 900 days until yesterday.
Of competitive
golf.
Rounds of golf. Okay.
Yes. The article I read, it was Dan Rappaport on Golf Digest, and it kind of he went down. So what happened was Morgan Hoffman comes out in 2009. He was a freshman at Oklahoma State. He won three events, including the Big 12 individual title, top ranked amateur, won the Phil Mickelson Award. That's the top freshman, first team All American, you know, all of it. He's 32 now. And so he comes out, he locks up his tour card in 2012, from the Corn Ferry Tour. He finished second at one point in a tour event, was on top of the world, making a whole bunch of money. 2014 BMW Championship, which is, you know, qualified for the playoffs that got him into majors. He was tied 28th at the 2015 Masters, you know, all seemingly things going the way you thought it would. And then he started kind of noticing that his chest, his right pec, was kind of losing. It's kind of shriveling a little bit or whatever. So he tried to figure out what was happening. It took all kinds of. He went to all the places, you know, as far as the biggest and the best of American medicine all over the country. He got his pilot's license so that he could fly himself to the tournaments around the country, but then also in between, you know, a weekend and starting the next week, flying himself to other play, you know, whatever hospital that week to figure out what was going on with him. And finally, he figured out that he had muscular dystrophy.
Oh, wow.
In 2017. And from that point, he listened to the prognosis from the doctor that finally was the one that diagnosed it, Then he went to another guy because he didn't like that diagnosis. They said the same thing. And basically, you know, with that, you're headed downhill fast. Mm. You know, they detail one of when he figured out what it was. There was an Olympic gym, a young lady that he got a letter from who was training to be an Olympic gymnast, who a year after her diagnosis was in a wheelchair.
My goodness.
And so it's debilitating, yeah. and you know, it's kind of a death sentence at the end of the day, or as far as normal life, for sure. You know, by the mid-20s, a lot of the folks are that way. And so it was basically this is going to get worse, and there's not a lot we can do. You know, we can kind of delay but not cure or whatever. And he said, his quote in this article is, he was like, "This is the dumbest S I've ever heard. F this. This is not how you treat people." So he started looking for alternative answers.
Okay.
As much as he said, there was one period, like 17 days, where all he ate was grapes.
Grapes?
Yeah, like 800 grapes a day.
Wow.
Looking for answers, looking for different answers. And then he found a place in Costa Rica. And so he and his wife went down there, and they go through some looking for healers, not doctors is what it kind of calls it. The Nicoya Peninsula in western Costa Rica. It's one of five different places called blue zones, five different regions that are called blue zones all around the world, where the people seem to be the healthiest and live the longest. And the others, Okinawa, Loma Linda, California, Sardinia in Italy, and Ikaria in Greece, and then the Nicoya Peninsula down in Costa Rica. So this is like 2019 when he goes and visits to undergo an ancient Amazonic treatment called Ayahuasca. Ayahuasca, you know, whatever. And so you drink the cups of ayahuasca roughly every 5 hours. He said the first couple of days he was seeing stuff, but he wasn't surrendering all the way to it. Okay. The third day, he surrenders to the treatment. And he said immediately, as soon as he got his mind to surrender to the ayahuasca treatment, the ceiling went away. He could look out and see the stars. Then, I mean, this gets pretty crazy. He had this see-through vine that started going down into his throat. Like, this is what he's feeling.
Okay.
What he's seeing in his mind, and this is what's happening to him, in his recollection. And there was one of the shaman that was there saw this too. Like said, yes, I just saw that too. So this vine goes down into his body. He said he was trying to close his mouth for an hour and a half, couldn't do it. And then this huge elephant appeared.
Of course.
And the huge elephant started pulling that vine out, and as he pulls it out, black smoke starts pouring out of his mouth. It's like Green Mile.
Oh, right, yeah, okay.
It's like Green Mile, because he said as soon as I was
envisioning the scene in Dumbo where he was hallucinating.
Well, yeah, sure.
You mentioned elephant, but so was it pink or?
It was black smoke coming out of his mouth.
Okay. Try not to make fun, but this is crazy.
No, it's a crazy story.
This is crazy.
So the vine, this huge vine, it's a see-through vine, and he could see what it was pumping into. He said it was just all natural, leaves, dirt, berries, trees going in, and then the black smoke comes out, and he said it felt like the disease was coming out of him, like Green Mile.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's done the treatments. He drinks his own urine.
Okay.
All kinds. I mean, just completely. So here's the deal.
We don't advise anybody listening to do any of this.
Well, okay? he says that as well.
Okay.
But he said it's working for him, and so he's, you know. So anyway, this is 2019. Yesterday, he played in a tour event.
Okay, great.
Shot even par. And he talks about how his pec, the deterioration is done.
Okay.
And the guy asked him, "Are you going to go, you know, get an MRI to see if Western medicine tells you you're healed? And he said, no, absolutely not. I don't, you know, I don't need them to tell me I'm healed. I know I am all on my own. Just wow. Incredible.
I wonder if there's any point in that interview that you asked him, like, during that whole process, are you thinking, what am I doing?
I think
you know what I'm saying.
He like, was at first.
Like, what is this? Have I made a terrible mistake? Kind of feeling, but obviously there's no regrets now. He's able body and playing a high level of golf. But for me, that's a leap of faith, man.
Oh, 100%.
You've heard some horror stories when you do something like that, as far as seeking
alternative treatments
that are. I won't say non-traditional because it is obviously a tradition in that culture, but you know, outside of Western medicine, that's kind of scary.
I think
through that process, if I'm him, I'm laying there with my mouth open, going, "What am I doing? I have made a big mistake." But you know, you have to get past that, I guess, mentally. Like, I can't think like that. We're here.
What he was when he said he wouldn't surrender. I'm sure that's kind of the thoughts of what is this?
Yeah,
this is wild. And then, but then once he did surrender to it, he felt like the disease went away. And this is one of the quotes that I think tells you where he is mentally, right?
Yeah.
After this time, he said, "I've been asked the question a bunch of times. If there was a drug or a pill that would grow my muscles back, I would take it, right?" And he says, "No, that's not what I believe in now. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here to prove I can do it on my own. Drugs are not the only way to heal. You have the power within you." And the question then is posed, but what if the pill is faster and easier? And his answer, "I wouldn't take it because anything good takes time."
Well, that's true.
It's an interesting, when you read this, I mean, it's a long article. Trust me, it's a long one.
Wow.
But it's an incredible story.
That is incredible.
I mean, because we're talking about a dude, and you know, as it tells you kind of his past life, you're talking about a dude that was down there in Jupiter, Florida, where if you're listening, watching a golf tournament and they announce where they're from, you know, it's the JTs, the Rickies. I mean, he was buddies with all these guys.
Yeah, they all kind of live right there. Yeah.
Yes, and they practice together and all that as young guys kind of coming out at the same time out on the tour. And they kind of all describe him as, you know, that your buddy in college that was just pretty crazy anyway. And so I don't think a lot of them are surprised that he would try this.
Yeah.
And I know they're not surprised at the dedication he has to it. Justin Thomas talks about when they would practice together, it didn't matter what skill it was as far as, you know, with his golf game. He always took it seriously. You know, even when they were jacking around, he always took it seriously. And he always was kind of charting and paying attention to whatever they were doing. And so they, you know, they were all kind of like, "Yeah, I haven't really heard from him, but it doesn't surprise me that he would be." And so yesterday he comes out and he shoots even par after 900 days away from PGA Tour golf. It's just an incredible, incredible story. If you find it, Dan Rappaport, Golf Digest. Like I said, it's a long story and it details a lot of different things that I didn't even get into. But just, you know, it's an awesome story, and we'll see. I mean, he hasn't committed like, "Hey, I'm going to be back on, you know, out on tour in the lifestyle," because he only has a few starts from medical exemptions that the tour gave him as a member from, you know, the PEC and all that.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he can get some sponsors exemptions as well. So he's got, like, you know, if he were to try to get on, you know, get his card back, he's got like 10 starts, and this is one of those. And he, you know, he doesn't know if he's going to do that yet. He just got it to where he wanted to play once. So that's where he is. Hopefully he makes the cut today. It's matter of fact, I'll get an update on leaderboard because I bet he's out there. As he played kind of late yesterday, I bet he is out there today.
He's playing where again?
This is at Hilton Head at Harbor Town. You know, the course with the light tower off of the 18th green. It's the famous lighthouse, I mean.
Okay.
That's behind 18 green. It's always the tournament after the Masters in South Carolina. And
The RBC?
I think that's what it's called now, RBC Heritage.
Okay, I've had that on. I just not really paying attention to it. Okay. Actually, I have. I've been paying attention to one guy, and remember our question about Cam Smith?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, it might have been answered here.
Yeah, I don't think he wants to be right now.
He kind of has this body language like he doesn't want to be there.
I'm sure he doesn't.
Yeah, I think he's still disappointed.
I think he's still standing on the 12th tee at Augusta,
yeah,
looking out there and going, oh, my God, my ball's in the water.
Yeah.
Morgan Hoffman, even par through 12 today. It's one shot off the cut line.
There he is. Okay, I see him.
Yep, one shot off.
He is through 12 already. Yeah, that's what you just said. Yeah. Well,
so
hopefully
just,
makes the cut. That's something to look forward to this week.
Well, yeah, that'd be a great, you know,
it'd
be a great story for it to be talked about outside of who's going to win the golf tournament.
Right.
Just him being there, making the cut for the weekend, as he looks like he's got about a 3-footer for par on number 4, which is his 13th hole because he teed off number 10 today.
And he's bogeyed his last. Oh, I'm sorry. He started on the back.
Yeah, he started on the back.
I apologize. Yep. Well, we'll root for him. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yep. I mean, it's a wild story. There's no doubt about that.
It is wild.
It is. And I'm telling you, I didn't do it justice. If you go read it on Golf Digest, Dan Rappaport, it's way more in depth than I even got into there with some of the different things and some of the different treatments. And he even talks about his lifestyle back on tour. And it was what a lot of guys would dream of it being with fame and fortune and girls and booze, you know what I'm saying? It was he had what a lot of people would think was the perfect life.
Mm-hmm.
And then but he didn't let that derail him, because you know that's a debilitating disease that he found a different way to, at least for right now, heal him enough to be on the PGA Tour trying to make a cut at Harbortown. So cool story.
Very cool.
It's one that, I mean, I have a little bit of personal experience, not to this level, but my son can heal you of your allergy right quick. I'm telling you, you can.
My kid has a trick of getting rid of the hiccups.
Really?
Yeah. Wyatt is a superhero. He has a superpower.
Listen, I'm not kidding.
He just told me this. This is cool.
He's able to... He's in tune with, because I don't know, boy, my wife may kill me for this. When he was born, he had a bunch of food allergies.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking eggs, dairy, nuts, a lot of them. To where when I met him, this is kind of funny now, but he still orders, like if we're going to have pizza, or if we're, you know, out and he wants to order a pizza.
Yeah.
He'll say, well, I want the hamburger pizza with cheese, because when I first met him, he couldn't have cheese. So if we went to but he liked like pizza, or he thought he did.
Yeah. Well, what
turns out he really liked it once he got to have cheese.
Oh, I bet.
But you know, so he would he'd get like sauce and hamburger meat.
Okay.
And that's it. And so he still to this day will order pizza. A hamburger pizza. Oh yeah, and put cheese on it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we think that's a given. You know,
well,
yeah. We want the pepperoni. Well, of course it comes with cheese.
Yeah.
You know, but no, he is. There's a lady out in Amarillo that has helped him with his allergy stuff, and
well,
he did
cool.
I mean, he went through the same, you know, regimen of regular medicine.
Yeah.
The way that a lot of people did, and it wasn't working to the level of. And he went out there, and this is more kind of, you know, in touch with your feelings and your you know, body or whatever. And not only can he do it for him, he can do it for you.
That's crazy. That is.
It is awesome.
It's pretty cool.
It's like he's a little Jedi or something.
That is pretty cool. My kid can heal the hiccups. And, you know, everybody, when you get the hiccups, they're annoying, and you can try everything to get rid of them. Right, like holding your breath and drinking water upside down, having somebody scare you, whatever.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes you just can't get rid of them. Last night we were eating dinner at the table, and I got hiccups. And I remember her telling me to do something, and it worked the first time. And I said, what'd you do, Katie? What do you do? And we're sitting there, okay? And it sounds so simple and dumb, but it works every time. You should hold your breath and look straight up. Okay. So I held my breath, looked straight up. And she goes, just let go anytime you want. And I just, okay.
Gone.
It's worked every time. I'm looking at her like, she goes, I was just messing around one day, figured out that's how I get rid of my hiccups.
Oh, that's funny.
And it worked. It's crazy. Kids are awesome. They're more in tuned, you know?
They're using the Force.
They are. The life force.
I didn't know I had a little Yoda running around the house.
A little baby Yoda.
He's already bigger than Yoda, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a giant. you don't believe me, come watch baseball practice. My goodness. It's like the coach is out there in pants. Like, why is our dorky coach out there in his baseball? Oh, never mind. It's Wyatt.
He's going to be a tall one.
If he keeps growing.
He's going to be tall. I can tell.
Oh, his legs are
long.
What are you going to do this weekend? You told us a little bit earlier.
I'm going to do something really cool that I've always seen done, but I've always wanted to try it, so I get this opportunity. We're going to go bow fishing. Now, hopefully this wind doesn't mess anything up, but we're going out to Foss Lake, have a guide, and he's going to show us how this is done. You go at night because you spotlight, you know, the fish will come up to the spotlight. Whoa. And totally, no, we've looked into this.
I hope LT Edwards isn't listening.
I meant to catch him yesterday and ask him about this. I didn't catch him. It's on the up and up. We wouldn't get this guide if he wasn't.
Yeah, you'd think a guided trip like this would not be illegal.
Exactly. I mean, you got to have your fishing license, which I will.
Well, when you hear spotlight, I automatically think of bad hunting
you
practice.
Yeah, that's what you think. But this is completely on the up and up, I think.
And if not, that's on you, Fred.
That's it. Oh, boy.
So what are you trying to bow hunt? Like, what species of fish?
I don't know. Whatever comes up, I guess. We see a fish, we shoot
at it. This seems like something you'd do for gar.
Yeah, the alligator gar like that.
It seems like something you'd do for a gar.
Yeah.
Like back in the, like in a channel or something off the side of the lake. And they, because they, you know, they're kind of up in, like a carp. They're always kind of up toward the top.
Sure.
In the shallow water anyway.
You don't want that dirty carp, but.
Well, I don't think you want to eat a gar either.
No, but it'd be cool to get a big one.
Oh, yeah.
Just to show
it
off.
When you first said this, I was thinking about, like, the paddle fish, but I don't think they shoot those.
No, I don't think so either. You actually need a separate license for that. Do you know that?
For paddle fish? Mm-hmm. Yes.
But that's what we're going to do tonight.
Well, hopefully you get, like, a monster flathead catfish.
I hope. That'd be cool.
Or actually, you know what you ought to do? I can't remember what the number is. I think it's 29, maybe 32. LT Edwards tell you. It'd be better if you could bow shoot about 30 or whatever the legal limit is. 29 maybe, 29. 2.5 pound crappie. And then you could fry them up. We could eat them. That would be like the goal.
I would hope we'd get a bunch enough for a fish fry. And I'll have you come on over and you can help us.
If you kill a big enough one, you can, but a lot of times they don't taste as good.
No. So that's what we're doing. I'm kind of excited to see.
So that's tomorrow.
Yeah.
What about the weekend?
That's tonight, actually.
Or tonight,
I mean. That's tonight.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, I'm not doing really anything. Now, my kids, no, I take that back. My kids and wife are going to a play over in Clinton.
Oh, yeah.
Beauty and the Beast.
The one that got delayed.
Yep. My niece is in that. So they're going to go watch her. I'm not going to go. I'm not really much of a play guy. And then that late afternoon, early evening, we're going to all go over to my brother-in-law's in Merritt and do a little Easter egg hunting.
Oh, I bet it ends up being late evening.
Probably. It depends how much fish we catch. You never know. But that's that. And then Sunday, you know, it's Easter Sunday. I know there's a lot of Easter eggs. Easter egg hunts happening throughout the area tomorrow. I know right here in Oak City there is. And, of course, over in Canute. Unfortunately, it's the first time my kids are going to miss it. Now, it's been delayed because of COVID. But
very late, I got.
Apparently, somebody knows Jason. Oh, man. My niece just texted me and said, I'm not a play guy, huh?
Uh-oh. Turns out you're probably going to have to be at some point.
Aren't you supposed
singing.
To be asleep? You don't have school today.
That's awesome.
But, I mean, a lot of family time this weekend. I always love that.
How about you? You know what's kind of cool?
What's that?
Okay, so after we get done here, do some work. At some point, I'm going to have to meet my sister-in-law.
I guess we got
to
work.
Out at the golf course here, because we're going to load up my golf cart and take it over to Sayre. Tomorrow, myself, this afternoon. Normally this happens Friday night, but Wyatt's going with his dad this weekend. And so since they don't have school today, There's going to be a little Easter egg dyeing party at our house about 1 o'clock.
Cool.
With the nieces and cousins and Wyatt before he has to jet on up north to Moreland. So he's going to get to be involved in that. I got a couple of different options of Easter egg dyeing. It's amazing what is out there as far as, you know, when I think of Easter egg dyeing, I think of a plastic cup and about four
with the
colors.
With the little dipper utensil thing.
Yes, yes,
yeah.
Turns out
the little tablets you throw in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You put a little vinegar, put a little water, voila.
Yeah.
Let them sit there for 5 minutes or so, and then you dip them out and put them over to the side. Let them. Yeah, you can still do that, and all of them kind of do that, but different ways. Like, so, for instance, one of them I got that is you do that, and then you put some shiny stuff on it, makes it look like shining like candy.
Okay.
You know, like a spree or something like that, you know? The other, they give you like Ziploc bags. You fire rice in there. Then you put the coloring and get the rice all colored.
Uh-huh.
Then you drop the egg in there and you shake it around so it kind of speckles it.
Oh, okay.
And then you can do it with a bunch of different colors and you have like a colorful speckledy egg.
Right.
We've done it with whipped cream before, where you color the whipped cream.
Okay.
And you mess around, you put it around in there, and it'll color it that way, too. It's more of a, that would be more for like a pastel, because it doesn't get as dark, you know, like a lighter. Anyway, so that's happening.
You're throwing all the art lingo at me.
That's happening then. I've got a pork butt on the Yoder as we speak.
Nice.
That's going to turn into pulled pork tacos. I watched my man Malcolm Reed. You ever watch Malcolm Reed?
No.
A barbecue ride. He's on one of those big time barbecue teams that win like Memphis in May and stuff.
Is it like a Food Network or?
Nah, he's got his own YouTube videos. Oh. He cooks everything. So
I look him up.
I can tell you how this went. Put like salt, pepper, garlic, and marinated overnight in orange juice and lime juice and some onion. Hmm. And then refortified those flavors with a little cumin also.
This gives it the.
To get the, kind of the Southwestern.
Taco, Southwest.
That's
yeah,
right.
Gotcha.
That's right. We didn't have any. Chipotle and adobo handy, so I used chili powder, but whatever, it's kind of the same thing.
Better than so, cinnamon, right, Allie?
No, listen, that's the one I forgot. Dadgummit. I couldn't remember what the other spice was that he put on before he put it on the smoker, and it was cinnamon. I couldn't remember.
That's funny. That's
I could
that's
not
funny.
Remember because it was salt, pepper, garlic because he calls it his AP rub or whatever, and then I actually bought one of his barbecue rubs.
Cool.
And then you put cumin, garlic powder, onion powder, and it was cinnamon. God, I could not. And I wasn't going to pull. I didn't have time to pull the video back up. Anyhow, so we're going to do that tonight. Then, of course, the parade tomorrow, alumni parade at Sayre. It's a big weekend
in
Sayre.
Yeah, it is a big weekend in Sayre. That's
oh, yeah.
right.
It's a huge weekend with the alumni. Turns out we'll be playing golf tomorrow. Me and Will. I know our whole assignment or who we're going to be playing with. So that'll be fun. Then we'll probably go over and listen to a little Dean Jackson band.
Hey, that's always
Saturday
good.
Night at the golf course, and then Sunday. Here's the problem with all that festivity. Sunday morning, I have to work the soundboard at church, which means I have to be there at like 8:15 or 8:30 for practice, then Sunday school, and then I'll probably figure out a way not to fall asleep at the wheel up there with the sound.
Good luck
during the Easter service. You know that's. A little bit of pressure there, Alan, scheduling me on, you know, this is like the Super Bowl of church,
yes,
right?
It is, yes.
I mean, you know, you're going to see people that wear shorts sometimes are going to be in suits and, you know, that kind of thing because it's Easter. And so I got to be paying attention with the soundboard.
Well, good luck.
I'd hate to, for, you know, preaching not to get heard because I didn't turn their microphone on or whatever.
Well, the point is, this is a good weekend for family. And
it
you
is.
Know, we mentioned at the top of the show, it is Good Friday. We can, you know. A lot of people forget what this Friday is. I was thinking about the drive-in. It's the worst day, in my opinion, in world human history. But fortunately, it leads to the best day.
That's right.
A couple days later. So remember what this weekend's really about outside of all the food and egg hunting and family time. It's a very important weekend.
Yes. Yes, it is. All right. You know what?
And it's important for the Thunder.
It is important for the Thunder. Thunder need the Clippers to lose tonight.
That's right. Very possible. Very possible. And then that could mean possibly two lottery picks.
Possibly two lottery picks. And you never know.
Shape the future of the Thunder for the next decade tonight.
It could go.
I mean, if you think about it.
It could start that process.
It could start that process.
Because who knows? I mean, I said it yesterday. Just being in the lottery gives you a chance to move up in the lottery. You can't move up in the lottery if you're not in it.
Of course. Never know.
You never know. Even though the odds are minuscule, you never, ever know. And that's when, if the Clippers will lose, about the second envelope, you'll be hoping, don't be the Thunder. Don't be the Thunder.
Yeah.
And when it's not, then the party, then, you know, that's when it's cool. When you're way down the list and you get really, really lucky, because then you have like 10 envelopes to pick from before you know yours is next.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And if that happens, then the sting of your pick being like number six isn't as bad because you know there's a top four coming.
Right.
Anyhow.
So that'll have my interest too. At least I'll have my alerts set on my phone while I'm bow fishing tonight.
I can't wait to hear about bow fishing.
Yeah, I hope it happens. I hope the wind doesn't mess this up. I hope we don't
it's going to be
there.
Windy, but it's, you know, it's been laying down.
It lays
and
down.
And it's going to turn around too.
Yeah, and this guide is supposed to take us to some good coves.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll be back in there. I'm sure you'll be back in. Because you got to have them somewhere near the surface, or you can't shoot down 20 feet.
Of course, of course.
Can't wait to hear on Monday. Everybody have a great weekend. As you said, remember, why eat Easter weekend?
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.